It's Helping Hand. Airs statewide. HPR 1 stations on Fridays, part of All Things Considered. And then it's archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event and offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week we have RYSE, and it's spelled R-Y-S-E, and it means Residential Youth Services and Empowerment. It's a nonprofit operating an access center. Hawaii street youth are assessed. They're referred for different kinds of support services. They're targeting people 18 to 24 to get them a safe place to live, basically. We'll hear about who it is they're trying to help, the many ways that RYSE can be supported, as we welcome back their executive director, Carla Hauser. Hey, Carla, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor to be in here.
Hawaii street youth, but the ones that are in the Honolulu area, Oahu, basically.
Correct. Right now, we're serving young people 18 to 24 right here on Oahu. We have gotten a number of young people who are coming from outer islands just because there's more services here, whether it's for behavioral health, mental health. But our primary focus right now are street youth on Oahu.
And I still have it right. It's 18 to 24s.
Correct. That's for the residential services. We do offer drop-in services 7 days a week, and that's for any young person who wants to come in.
Like minors and stuff.
Yeah, minors to, you know, basic needs, get some food, take a hot shower, meet with case managers.
Thinking about the services, the most important one is housing.
Correct.
Once you've got them, so to speak, then you can start doing the other critical, I guess, behavioral modification and lifestyle?
Yes, absolutely. We have found getting young people a roof over their head and giving them a safe place to sleep. It's amazing the transformation that happens. Once they start getting back into their regular sleep patterns, they start making better choices. Their substance use goes down. They're more open to meeting with staff and case management and starting to put out what their path is and where it is that they want to go in life. And it's really our kind of kuleana to walk beside them in their journey. If they want to go back to high school, if they want to get into college, if they want to look at some sort of residential vocational opportunity, it's really providing all of that wraparound support to help them get there.
It's like the housing first sort of thing, because it sounds like when you get the roof over their head, it's easier to start doing the other stuff.
I always want to remind folks that there is also a housing first for youth model. It's very popular in Canada. With young people, they need a lot of intensive support.
Right.
And it's really about, you know, helping to guide them, allowing them to make mistakes and quote unquote fail, get back up and try again. And that's really what we're there for, is to provide that wraparound intensive support. We like to call it unconditional positive regard.
Right. So,
and then relentless engagement. That's the big thing for us is, okay, you're not ready today. How about tomorrow?
And a lot of these kids would otherwise be on the street. I remember we were talking last time you were here, you had a word, street entrenched. I think that term makes more sense to folks. We just have such a serious issue going on. What you can see in the Honolulu area is just, it's frightening.
Yeah, and youth homelessness across the nation is on the rise. Mm. Last year, HUD identified it as one of the fastest growing subpopulations. We don't see young people pushing shopping carts down the street, and so oftentimes they are our community's invisible.
Right.
And so that's why it's really important to have places like the Youth Outreach Program in Waikiki, or a place like RYSE, where, you know, they can at least have some place to go, get fed, and take care of their basic needs.
There's a lot of service. Are there costs for them?
No, no costs at all. We cover everything from getting their birth certificate, their social security card, getting their ID, get their driver's license. We also make sure that we connect them with medical insurance and also their SNAP EBT. All of that's really, really important for them in this developmental stage.
How do you get the funding then to do all of that? If they pay nothing and you provide so much, try to explain for me how all of this bounty can come.
Well, it first starts with having an amazing board of directors. We have a working board like none on this island. We have a successful fundraiser once a year that brings in anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 a year for us.
And you get grants and stuff?
Yep. And then we also get some money from city and county through the grant and aid process. We were awarded last year in January Ohana Zone funding. That allowed us to add 10 extra beds. It allowed us to start building out our behavioral health and education programs.
So these are some of the things since you were last on that have happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what else?
Now we have a 30-bed capacity, and even that is not enough.
Right.
We still have a wait list. We still have young people sleeping on our sofas until we can kind of make some things move around. We've really ramped up our behavioral health and medical services. We've added a medical clinic. We have an APRN on site and also a volunteer psychiatrist. For some of them, they're just starting med management or starting to talk about the PTSD and the trauma that they've experienced. We're also looking to start our EGALA. It's equine therapy program.
Oh, with horses.
With horses. With some of our young men who've had some anger issues, we've had a lot of early success with that. So we're going to send some staff to get continued certification.
One of the things I loved about the program was its location. And there was lots of acreage and trees, and there were some creatures up there too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we're very fortunate to be on the Kawailoa Youth and Family Wellness Center program on that campus. A little over 400 acres,
wow.
And there's still a herd of cattle there. I'm told they're the descendants of the Queen's original herd.
And they're cared for by someone.
They are cared for by the state, DLNR, Office of Youth Services. So we get a lot of pigs, and it's beautiful, it's green. There's something very healing about that property.
Yeah, there's something very powerful. Just about any animal. Sometimes it's very subtle. Just about any creature. There's something so disarming.
We have a few fish that's have taken up home in our learning center, and they become this very tranquil focus mm-hmm. point for our young people as they're studying and working towards their GED or high school diploma.
They do that right there.
Yeah, they do. On site, we have a teacher that Olamana has provided. So Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 12, we have a part-time DOE teacher on campus helping our young people.
So there are a couple of things you mentioned. You mentioned your psychologist who was, I think you used the word volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just mentioned this part-time teacher.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably some really talented folks out there listening who are mental health professionals, education professionals, probably people who could help you with maintaining your property. What could you use the most?
We've had some great partnerships with folks in the community, whether it's coming and teaching cooking classes, whether it's a volunteer driver's ed teacher for some of our young people, art therapy. We've partnered with Junior League, and they've come out and done a series of like life skills building courses. American Savings Bank is coming out this Friday to do a whole financial literacy piece for us. So anything along those lines, any positive, caring, nurturing adult that wants to come, give a commitment, and just be a positive force in a young person's life.
So there's lots of ways people can help. Also, supplies and clothing or furniture or anything more tangible. And obviously, people can make cash donations too.
Sure. Yeah, our street outreach team, they've had over 1,000 encounters a year with young people. And that starts with basic hygiene supplies. So travel size deodorant, socks, underwear, razors, those kind of essentials. The other piece that is really essential for us right now as we are transitioning young people from the RISE Access Center into their own place, we're right now looking for dressers, tables, sofas, things like that, so that when our young people do transition out, they're not just kind of going into just four cinder block walls.
Anyone who's parting ways with stuff, and maybe you're touched, or maybe you've spent time on the streets in Hawaii, let me give you the contact information. RISEHawaii.org, and that's RYSE, Hawaii.org, which stands for Residential Youth Services and Empowerment. info@risehawaii.org. 808-498-5180. Contact information, full interview, the radio feature, all of our previous Helping Hand segments waiting for you at hawaiipublicradio.org. What else could you use help with over there? What's not working right? Is there something with the lawn, outdoor landscaping, vehicles?
Yes, you could imagine what it is. The Office of Youth Services and the maintenance crew at Kawailoa, they do a great job in trying to keep the lawns and everything manicured. But we do get folks from the community that want to come in and do a Saturday service project. The building that we're in, there are always kind of more high service needs. Come up, do a a 4-hour service project, have a barbecue with our young people, get to know them and see how just truly amazing these kids are.
She's the executive director of RISE, and that's Residential Youth Services and Empowerment, Carla Hauser. And I hope that this is useful and inspires a lot of people who are super blessed with lots of stuff in their life to share some of it with you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm grateful.